Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, whatever time it is. All right, y'all, we're going to do some coaching today. Before we get started, I'll do a few announcements. So while everybody's pouring in, let me tell you about a couple of exciting calls this week. Let me pull up my notes. Let's see. Zoom announcements. Don't forget, we are still doing All in April. So if you're following along with me on All in April, here's the two ways that you can do it. You can be in the Facebook group and you can look underneath units where I'm hashtagging All in April. So most days I am coming live for a few minutes in the mornings. Sometimes I do a post, like today I just did a post because I knew I was going to be with you guys for about 90 minutes today. So y'all don't have too much stuff to listen to. And then you also can just listen to the Private Member podcast and you can get access to all the little recordings that I do and stuff. So I'm really hoping that you guys are finding that motivational. I actually am enjoying it. I kind of like just talking about things that I feel like I have control over and stuff. It's funny how even just doing it for myself, it helps me keep a mindset of just where my brain needs to go rather than where it wants to go. And whatnot, and letting it just run on autopilot. It's really helping me quickly just adjust my sail a little bit, figure out, all right, today here's the focus, here's the things I'm going to do. And one of the interesting things, I was actually Slacking. Slack is an app that a lot of people use for business and stuff. And I'm in a private Slack with Bert Castillo. And there's like a handful of us. There's about five of us in that group. And I was Slacking her last night. And she was making a comment about how she had seen a stat on CNN. How, let's see, we've like 20,000 people have died of COVID since, I guess like in 2 months. Like, let's just say it was 2 months. In the same 2 months, like 200 and something thousand people had died of heart disease. And we were just commenting on how, if, you know, how much we're, you know, starting to see a flattening of the curve and the changes that have been made, how people are just on a dime flipping their lifestyle and all kinds of stuff. If we took major initiatives, like if people were as motivated and as determined to solve diabetes and heart disease and obesity and things like that, like how that would change things. And anyway, we were just commenting on it. And I was telling her about our four things and some of the stuff that I've been driving home with you guys this last month. And I just said, you know, what still amazes me about all of it is no one has to do any of this stuff. Like, it's literally the world has thoughts. They have just decided, okay, they said this, I believe it, and now I'm going to do this for fellow man. That's like how the world works. We just make decisions and we do things. And that's like how simple weight loss can be too. It's like you just made a decision. If you're at home and you're not going, like going places, going to the grocery store every day or whatever, it's because you made a decision. I mean, it's this one time in life where we're all really seeing how the power of just making up your mind to do something, what it can do for you. And so anyway, I've been kind of watching all of this and thinking about it on a bigger scale and how I'm going to teach it to you guys and things like that. And I just wanted to say, like, for all of you, when it comes to your weight and stuff, I think you guys keep looking for all these deep, dark reasons why you're not doing stuff and all this other junk. And it's like, if you just said, like today, it's literally because of decisions I'm making. I don't even need to know why I don't want to. Like, I think a lot of you, I'm actually reading for next month's self-sabotage course. And one of the things that the book was, this one book that I'm reading was talking about is that we sit around waiting with an expectation that we're supposed to be feeling like doing something new. And that's the biggest lie that we ever tell. Our whole body is designed to not get excited and not get motivated to do new things that we don't know how it's going to turn out. Your brain is just wired not to be that. Your job in the modern day age is to override it. Your job in the modern day age is just to decide, oh, not supposed to feel like doing it. the longer I wait for motivation and the longer that I wait to feel good, the longer I wait for all these things is another day that I just don't have these things. And the other thing that they were talking about was that what most of us do is we just keep not doing the things that we know we need to do, waiting to feel good about it, because the only way that we'll take action is to feel really bad about it. And so what we do is we sit around and we prove to ourselves, our belief systems, that we're out of control, we're all these things, we're not good enough, until we get so sick of ourselves that then we take action. And so like my goal is to help you guys start teaching you. You don't have to wait till rock bottom, and you don't have to wait until you're sick of yourself and that you feel so terrible to take action. You could just start with small things that feel really doable and that you just barely have to override your bullshit of wanting to be motivated to do it. All right. Let's see what else I got on here. If you are done with the quick start and the four basics, this week, the big focus is going to be on module 2 of Novia. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this week in the calls. So if you are new, or you are someone who's just redoing NoBS again, because you like to redo it every time we have new people come through, this week's focus will be phase 2. So make sure that as you're percolating along through NoBS, just know that our calls this week will be focused on that. They're all optional. You can get everything you need out of just taking the NoBS course itself. But if you do want to participate in all in like our, you know, coaching calls or live calls, if you want to listen to the replays, we will be having a focus on that. Tomorrow night at 5 p.m., the coaches, I believe it's Coach MJ, if I'm not mistaken, she's going to be taking you through, it's called Making the Model Simple. So that's tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Monday. And then the coaches have office hours on Wednesday and at 5 p.m. And on Thursday, I have a special class with you guys. It's called How to Feel Bad Without Eating Through It. Because everybody's going to have to learn how to feel bad without eating. We're going to have to actually like to learn how to feel bad on purpose. So we're going to talk about that on Thursday. It should be interesting. I am writing that this week too. And then the big exciting thing that's happening is our first ever online workshop is happening this weekend. It will be on Saturday, 10 a.m. Central until 5 p.m. Central. There will be a lunch break at 1 from 1 to 2 p.m. Central time. And we are going to be going through the relationships weekend. So I'm going to be teaching all things relationships with Kathy. We have a workbook that we are finalizing. We will be emailing that out to everybody on Thursday. So you'll want to check your email. If you want to participate, you can just join us on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is noon to 3 p.m. Central Time, where we'll be doing all coaching and Q&A for 3 straight hours, exclusively on relationships. So don't bring business and don't bring other stuff. This is all about relationships. And it'll be fun. And it's included in your membership, and it's really good stuff. So if you want to get coached, now is the time to raise your hand for our newbies, just so you guys remember. You can't be seen unless I call on you. So if you're sitting there and you're wondering, like, no, nobody can see you. Only people can see me. We do record every single thing that we do, guys. Every single thing we do is always recorded. You never have to ask, like, will this be recorded? If it comes out of my mouth, it's recorded. Y'all are lucky that I don't record myself watching TV and upload it to the Private Member Podcast. Seriously. So everything is always recorded. Everything is always stored inside PNP Tribe underneath video replays. And if it's not there, it's always there, and it's always in your Private Member Podcast. So we put it in both places, and you guys will always have it. So if we are doing anything ever inside the membership, it's always on the calendar over on pnptribe.com. If you just go on over to Get Coached, you will see our training calendar. Everything that we do gets scheduled there. The only thing that never gets scheduled is my surprise lives. When I just feel like talking, I just go live in Facebook. It is easy, it is quick, and it is efficient. It is a lot easier to do that than it is to like, well, let's schedule it. Let me make notes. Let me try to remember what the fuck I'm going to want to talk about tomorrow, because I want to make sure everybody knows. And then we have to send you an email and stuff. So like if I go surprise live, that's it. But Usually there's 4 to 5 calls scheduled for you guys every single week. You're not going to have a shortage of anything. And let me see if there's anything else I need to tell you guys. One of the things that you guys can do also, I gave you optional homework this week in your massive action line. And I want you guys to think about this because I worked really hard on it. You have a blue box inside your planner. In fact, I got mine right here. I was doing some, y'all, I'm doing this self-sabotage work for you guys. And one of the questions, I started writing it and I started crying. And I was like, oh my God. And this was 7 minutes ago. So I was like, oh my God, you can't start crying right now. Like, you're fixing to go. So I had to like stop doing the work. Because I always do whatever work I give you guys, I do the work first. And I was like crying. So this blue box, I'm giving you something to do with it this week. So here's what you can do. When I feel blank, I notice I eat. What are 3 ways I can help myself with that feeling besides food? You're going to answer that every single day. Since this week is all about our thought work, and this is all about like, what are we thinking and what are we feeling and what can we be doing about it in a whole new way that we've never thought of? I want you guys to answer that question this week every single day. And the bonus, every day when you answer the thought, I'm working on believing, I want you to write. So you know how you have in the top of your planner, the thought that I'm working on believing about me today? I'm giving you a thought to write every single day. Food solves hunger. My brain solves feelings. Seriously. If you want to stop comfort eating and you want to stop all the bullshit eating that you do to decompress from stress and like, you know how you all have this shitty story around why you eat? It's like when I ask you, well, why'd you eat? Well, it's because I was stressed. Well, it's because I was anxious. Well, it's because of this. No, that is not why you eat. You eat because you make a choice. And you made a choice in that moment that when you felt that, to avoid feeling it in exchange for eating. That's what actually is happening. That's the alternate truth. And that is the truth we have to adopt if we ever want to break the tie that food does something about the feelings. So if you want, I want you to write down every single day, food solves my hunger. My brain is what will always solve my feelings. And this is important because for those of you who think that if somebody would just act different, I'd feel different. If my circumstance would just change, I'd feel different, whatever. This starts laying the groundwork for your brain to start understanding like, oh, when I feel this way, it's because I'm thinking something. And if I'm thinking something, that's in my power to change. Now, if I want to keep the thought and I like the thought, then that means I'm going to choose to feel this way. There is power in that. That's when you feel bad on purpose with intention versus, well, I can't feel better because my husband's an asshole and he's always saying these things and blah, blah, blah. That means that you've given your power away. You've decided to be a victim to your feelings because now you need him to change for any hope for you to feel different. Okay. And that's everything. Okay. So I think Coach Kathy is in the, I'm pretty sure she's the one that's in the chat today. So if you have any questions, you can ask over there and let's go with Kendra. Hey, Kendra.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Let me turn you up a little bit. I've got my sound all down. What are we touching on?
Well, I want to talk. I've been doing some models, so you might need to get the whiteboard ready.
I already have a pen.
Take that lid off. So I have, over the last, probably about a month, really, maybe 2-3 weeks, I've been doing really, really great. I've been working on thought work. I have been resisting urges, like really going down a path that I'm proud of.
Okay.
And seeing some results. I lost 5-6 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Super, like, happy. And the thought came to me, and it just, I'm not over the thought of the deep stuff of, like, I feel imposter syndrome. I feel like, I feel like I wrote on my model, it's sitting right here, that this is a fluke. Like, this is not, like, don't get too excited, sister. Like, this is just a fluke, and this isn't you. This is not you. The deep thought that I have often is that I am dysfunctional because I grew up in a dysfunctional household. I learned a lot of that behavior. And so for me to do something functional and to do something great, like, but I feel like I'm going down this path of success is not comfortable to me. I'm not comfortable with it. And it's not like I lost 100 pounds or, you know, it's 5 pounds. So it's like, don't get too excited, but I feel excited about it because of the work I've done up here.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
So what's the problem?
I feel like it's just the way it doesn't feel good. It feels like I'm going to self-sabotage this. Like I don't feel like it's real. I don't feel like I earned it. I don't feel like this is really who I am.
Okay. So you have a collection of thoughts that you've already identified. So tell me what you think about those thoughts.
About the thoughts of...
Yeah. Let's just put up here, like, you're dysfunctional, not like this is a fluke, blah, blah, blah. What is your general thought about those thoughts? So we're just going to put in the C line, like, your identity thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me what you think about those.
I feel, which is different than thinking, it makes me feel defeated. I mean, it makes me feel like, but I know, like, on the outside, I know it's not real because I TDL'd about it.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not real. I know that my thoughts are just thoughts and it's not who I am. Like, I know that, but I'm having trouble with this particular one because it's so embedded in who I feel.
Which
like.
One? Which is the one?
The dysfunctional. Said? Dysfunctional. Like, I'm dysfunctional. Dysfunctional. Yeah. And
what
I feel like it's
just
been there.
Decide. Yeah. I think I'm dysfunctional a lot and I'm now on my way to proving that I'm not. And I may always think I'm dysfunctional. I'll just always have to give myself evidence to the contrary.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like it's been hard to get there because I've always given myself evidence to prove it.
That's not
with my behavior. Okay. Okay.
You know the reason why it's hard? Because you keep talking about it like it just is the way you are.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what you've done in your past. Your past doesn't prove who you are today.
Right. And I have been working on that. And I've TDL'd a ton over that.
What proves who you are today?
My actions.
No.
No, my thoughts.
Your thoughts behavior. Are who you are today. That's the only thing. A lot of us want to be like, no, Corinne, it's really all this other stuff. And it's like, no, it really is the boring truth. Mm-hmm. When you wake up each day, the thoughts you have about today are the thoughts that define who you are today. The thoughts you keep are the ones that will define you. The thoughts that you're like, oh, that's just old junk. Here's the ones we're going to think on purpose. It's a boring job.
Right. And I think that maybe I'm wanting it to happen overnight. Like, I'm wanting to be like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And that just, you know, I'm just going to be like this new woman because I'm thinking different.
No, you're going to wake up every single day of your life with a collection of thoughts, your identity thoughts, that you're going to need to say, and these are just the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's so lame. I think we all want to be like, but I'm so scared of self-sabotage and like, you don't know, let me tell you more about my past. It's like, mm-hmm. you can argue for all that pain if you want to. And keep working on all of it, or you can get to work on arguing for what you want and where you want to go and who you want to be today.
Right. And I feel like I've done these little things on thought work. Like I've gotten past a lot of the thought work, but it's the one, like that dysfunctional one is like the one that hangs over me.
But it's not hanging.
So much more. Yeah.
Like, think about how you're talking about it. You're like, you're still arguing a little bit like, but this one. It's so extra painful. It's so like, let me tell you about all the things. And I've fought it for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be an acceptance that like, this is literally going to be like, I want you to have the thought, I'm dysfunctional as your C.
Okay. Yeah, and I sometimes I feel like my models
feels
are
like sick. A C to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Totally. Yeah.
I mean, you're talking like you're like literally talking about it like it's like this is a fact.
The truth. Yeah.
So if it's the truth, like here's what we know about the truth. There's a thousand variations of it.
Right.
You've got the one way that you've described yourself for all your life. And you have been going to work at it since you were a kid. Like,
yeah,
you know, when you were a child, it was like, oh, we're a dysfunctional family. And as you got older, oh, we're a dysfunctional family. And you've been just like collecting all the evidence and you've basically watched your life and you've created a story around it being like, and it's all dysfunctional. That's how mm-hmm. we describe it. It's like for me, yeah. I've got a collection through my life of I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Go to work on telling you all the ways that I'm not good enough. And here's how it all started. And, you know, I had daddy that rejected me. And like, I can talk about it all day long.
Yeah.
But it's just how you tell the story. And when your brain gets really good at understanding, like I'm dysfunctional and you have a relationship with it, then you start realizing you're not dysfunctional, that it's mm-hmm. just an interpretation of a life that you've lived, and this is how you now describe it.
Okay. Interpretation of how okay. So how do I get past this everyday thought when you wake up and just, because I've worked on a lot of thoughts and letting them go and just seeing it. I see it as like just
letting go. But what is it doing to you? Like if you woke up every day and you're like, I'm dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what today? I'm going to lead a very functional life.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So tell me why you need to do extra work.
I don't. And I don't know why I feel stupid saying that it's just 5 pounds and it's just the last 2 weeks, but they've been so huge to me that I know I can do this. Like, I know I can get over that thought of being dysfunctional because I've gotten over. So I've been here since September and the thought work has been everything, but you know, like I said,
all right. So stop calling yourself stupid for being excited. I'm going to tell you exactly why you're excited. I'm going to show you the model.
So excited that I lost 5 pounds. And then I'm like, seriously, there's women on here that have lost so much weight. And like, just stop being excited about your stupid 5 pounds. Like,
okay. This is where you're proving your dysfunctionality. This is where you're going. This is where we have self-sabotage. I'm going to show you your self-sabotage mm-hmm. model right now.
Yeah.
How you're going about proving you're dysfunctional versus the model that you have that's actually working. Okay.
Please. Yeah.
So the first one is the 5 pounds. And it's like, this is so stupid to be excited. How's that feel?
Embarrassing. Shameful. And probably more embarrassing.
What is the action? Oh, shit. Not what you think is going to happen, but happening now?
I feel like I put on the brakes a little bit in my work. So I'm following my plans, but I feel like I'm not as serious. Like I start to be like, like it's not that big a deal.
I don't know what's actually going on now. While you're living in embarrassment about being excited about and calling your 5 pounds stupid.
I think I want to, sometimes I want to give up. Like, I feel like I should give up because it doesn't happen fast enough. And
you. So let me tell you what you're doing. You start predicting failure, predicting ways to fail.
Yeah, I do that.
Like, here's what's, you know, like, God, it's so stupid. It's only 5 pounds. And here's all the things that I think are going to happen really soon.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Notice where your brain is not going.
Yeah.
Like you're going to the future and mm-hmm. you're like, I want to craft a plan for how we're going to mess up.
Yes.
The result is that's dysfunctional.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. So I'm proving my dysfunction.
Yeah.
with the thought.
Let me ask you this. If you want to lose another 5 pounds, what should you be predicting? Ways to fail? What should you be trying to predict?
Ways to succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And guess what? If you're predicting ways to succeed, is the result dysfunction or is this functioning adult?
Functioning adult. Success.
Yeah, it's like, think about how, this thought, this is so stupid to be excited. So stupid to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're believing your story that you're dysfunctional rather than what I want you to do is be like, and sometimes I think I'm dysfunctional, but I'm like, how old are you, Kendra?
I just turned 42.
I'm 42 years old, and 42-year-olds don't have to be dysfunctional. You know what they get to do? They get to wake up every day and think they're dysfunctional and then go through the day and prove themselves wrong. That's what 42-year-old women get to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, 12-year-old women might wake up every day and think they're dysfunctional and not have the emotional bandwidth to do anything different, nor the environment to do anything different. But
right.
That's what we have to say, oh fuck, I forgot I was an adult.
Yeah. Right. And that's why I wanted to come on here, because I know I'm so close to this. You know, I know that I'm seeing it, and I know that there's just a tweaking to do, which is this model, and that it'll happen because I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do it. Like, I've already totally changed the thought. Like, I know that I'm going to, but I don't want to have to fight this dysfunctional fight ever. Like, it's just.
Then stop fighting it and let it just come along for the ride.
Yeah.
But this is the problem that all of us will face. And this is what I'm going to be talking about next month in self-sabotage. We all have a version of us. Like, we have this relationship with ourselves, and at the core, this is like who we believe we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good version. Every single human has that version.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no getting around it, and there's no reworking it. It is just like, this is the version of me that over time I really believe is me. And yours is probably this dysfunctional version. And mm-hmm. so when you notice yourself having dysfunctional thoughts, or when you notice yourself trying to act dysfunctional, you need to use that and leverage it as an asset to say, I know my issue. My issue is believing that I'm dysfunctional. I know I'm going to need to tell myself it's not a big deal. And then here's how I'm going to make sure it's not a big deal. When I notice that I'm tearing apart myself,
mm-hmm.
that I need to not do that anymore. If I notice for some reason I don't plan, I know that's probably just me trying to prove my dysfunctionality true. I need to just make the plan even when I'm not excited. When mm-hmm. the initial excitement wears off, this is what I'm going to need to do. That's how you start taking the reins of things.
Yes.
But every single person has themselves defined. I swear to God, mine is I'm not good enough. I go through my life trying to overcome it and prove mm-hmm. it wrong. And I find that's why nothing's ever enough for me. My friends make fun of me all the time. They're like, you get so much shit done.
Mm-hmm.
You do so much stuff and you literally don't feel good about it. I'm like, no. Like, I'm always off to the next thing.
Right. Because
when it runs counter to who you believe you are.
Right.
You set you're just setting your life up. So I work on that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel very good enough in some ways, but you're going to do the same thing. It's like, I want you to watch. You have a thought, though, that worked. You said it yourself earlier. And it's like a variation of this, which was, I think I'm dysfunctional, but I'm not letting it stop me.
You said
something along, right. That's whenever you want to call your 5 pounds stupid, you need to remind yourself, oh yeah, I'm supposed to remember. When it comes to this whole dysfunctional thing, I don't let it stop me.
Right. Well, and you know what I did? I TDL'd about it, and I came to a spot, and it was just funny because I wrote the thoughts of this weight loss is not because of this. And I said, the weight loss is probably because, and I literally couldn't think of any other reason that I was losing weight other than me. Like, it's because I do the plan every day. It's because I'm drinking a gallon of water it is because of everything there. And I couldn't think of a reason, like an imposter, like I have a stomach bug or there's nothing else but me.
And that's huge for me. Like proving that to yourself. That's why models are so important, because your action line is always a product of what you're thinking. Always. No one did the work for you. You did the work because of how your brain operated.
Right.
That's like, and when you think you're dysfunctional and you're getting results, of course, it's like you're going to need to work a little harder on proving yourself, because that runs like smack into the face of who you believe who you are.
Yep.
Like dysfunctional people shouldn't have their shit together and feel good about it. Dysfunctional people don't have their shit together and they feel miserable. Like that's your identity that you've got wrapped up. So what you can do though to help with this, to make it all easier, is one is just accept that you think you're dysfunctional. Not that you are, but that you think it. That's very different than this is who I am versus this is what I think I am. The second piece is I would write, like I would give yourself two stories. First, the story of how like your life and all like whatever you've defined as dysfunctional, how it never really was dysfunctional. That it was like, and when this happened, it set up for me to learn this piece, like this critical piece that I use today. So you go through and you take the things that you've always used as a scapegoat and a blame for what you can't be doing today, and you turn it into, and this is why like today I know these things, I'm able to do these things or whatever it is. How did this set me up for that? The last part too is you deciding what is the new version of you that's dysfunctional. Like the new version of me that's dysfunctional is very onto herself. The new version of me that's dysfunctional, like the part of me that believes that is now onto herself, who you know, like, I watch out for these things. I know that these are habits and thought patterns that typically come up for me. I'm just raising my awareness level around all of it so that as it happens, I'm not caught off guard. I'm not buying the story anymore. I'm not like afraid of it and resisting it. I'm just so aware of it. It's almost like you're making friends with a version of you that you've never liked.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, like I said, I've been here since September, and this has been, and just me asking this question about that thought is huge, because I think I've been seeing it, and I've tried and I've done the plan, and then I drop off because it's not comfortable to me, but I never identified it. So just me identifying it and being on here is like a huge step in the right direction.
It really is. And it really is. You really can. I can tell you're doing thought work because you came in with a very, what I would just call like a very insightful piece of knowledge about yourself. Like you really, you know, I'd done a lot of work on it. So and sometimes here's the deal with the thought work, guys. For some of us, the more in, like, I hate to use the word ingrained, but the more like ingrained a story is, the more it just feels like so true and stuff. Thought work sometimes can feel really scary, because what we're saying is we want to expose all of your thoughts, and now we want to tell you you're responsible for them. So for a lot of people, their ingrained stories have allowed them to blame other people or their past or whatever to get away from taking ownership of where they're at in their life right now. Right. And for some of us, it's really heavy, but it is really critical that you do it. And it usually feels way better than going through your life blaming and resentful and frustrated and wondering why you can't ever just lose weight. Why can't I just lose weight? It's like, well, you can't if this is the story you're going to hang on to. So we got to reconsider. Right.
Well, and I'm so aware of the fact that I, which is basically what this PMP is based on, is that these thoughts are what is controlling it all. And so I've, like I said, but just knowing that is huge for me. Yeah. And I've been doing a lot of work on it, and just, I've written letters to my past self of that dysfunction, because it started to me so early of disproving, not disproving, but just understanding my past behavior and saying, my big thing is, and I say it often in my journaling, is you were reacting when you were little, when you felt dysfunctional, you were just reacting to an environment that you were in. This was not you. It was, you were just reacting. It's not who you are. So that was a good start for me.
I'm about 70% through this book. I just started yesterday and I read fast. So y'all don't freak out, but I do read fast.
Same.
And it's so good that I'm like, I just want to finish the book before I recommend it, but for sure you should read it. Like,
what is it? Tell me.
I hate to put it out there because then everybody's going to want to go buy it. And I haven't finished the book yet.
I don't think you can say that without telling me now.
Well, it will come out. I will make sure. When I do the self-sabotage class, I always tell everybody, like, this is the book that I read, and or this is the books that I read. And if you want to, like, go deeper, go buy the books. But I'll just tell you, I'm going to end up recommending it. Stop doing that shit. In self-sabotage, it's the guy talks like me, and he's all blunt like me. So it's like one of the reasons why I do love it. It's called Stop Doing That Shit, In Self-Sabotage and Demand Your Life Back, Unfiltered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like
really
it.
Good. I've read a couple. I've read, I think, two of his books. So it's real good. But go ahead.
And you said the self-sabotage is next week? Like, do you have a...
Next month.
Is it a bonus course? Next month.
Next month. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'm taking it.
Another book, and I've got, like, one of my life coach friends, she sent me two or three articles to read online. So I like to, like, go through everything and then pull out exactly what I want to teach. So that's going to be next month's course. So I'm going to be filming it next weekend. So
I'll take that one for sure. I'm doing the I just did the 60-day course, or just in the middle of it now. And that was huge. That's a good one.
Which one?
The 60-day goal. I can't remember exactly what it's called. We did it not too long ago. I think you did it.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember what
the I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Goal setting, like, kind of.
Yes. I like, we have so much stuff. Even I forget what we have, and I cannot remember the name of it.
Oh,
first 60 days. First 60.
I was like 60 something.
Yeah. First 60.
It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. So.
All right, lady. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it too. Right. I just got a Southern accent from you. I don't know where that came from. I appreciate it
it's
too.
Like
thank
syrup.
You.
Syrup. It just gets like, all
what
over
is that? Sticky. I'm from Indiana.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Let's see, Jen, Andy, are you coming to the next Andy Gordman? Are you my Andy from 6 day? If you're coming, are you coming to the 2 o'clock 6 day call? I don't know if you're the same Andy. Can you answer in chat? Do you want to come? Do you want to get coached in the 6 day, or do you want to get coached here, Andy? Jen, hello.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Well, that last call with Kendra was amazing. It was kind of almost everything I was coming on here to handle and deal with. So I think the things for me that I'm also struggling with is this story of I always sabotage myself. So I'm a September baby, lost about 35 pounds, and felt so great about that. And then I started stalling out and struggling with some perfectionism.
Okay.
And in this last month, I've just dropped doing all the things I was doing, the four basics, planning, drinking my water. And that's definitely a story I have in my head that I can't sustain healthy habits for long periods of time.
Which is so not true, because you did it from September to what?
I think September to about... September, October, November, those 3 months were the main.
So 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes.
I think that blew your story out of the water. I can't sustain for a long time, except for 90 days.
Right. But like, yeah, so note I had a but there, like, oh, but not longer, like not enough. So anyway, what you coached Kendra on was extremely helpful for me. And I think what I noticed for me is I start burying my head and hiding from myself.
Why and that?
I think I'm just so scared that those thoughts are real of being broken, of being a failure.
Yeah, but are thoughts ever real?
Yeah, no, they're not. I mean, I'm so getting that from your program. Like, your program is just so blown my mind and shifted my relationship with myself, like, profoundly. And what I think I'm realizing right now is that that new person, that future self, the things I've been discovering are still there, but this old version keeps wanting to pop up and say, no, you know, you can't do this. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to be
thin. So tell me why you think she wants you to not be successful.
She is scared of failing so badly, of being not good enough, of just never succeeding, that I don't try or I
don't. You know what success will be?
In regards to my weight loss?
Yeah, let's just keep it with weight loss. Yeah. Like, you have a really good idea of what success not only will be, but like what it will feel like and what it will change for you and stuff.
That's so great, because my first thought was like a number of pounds, but what's really the success is going to be having a great relationship with myself, mm-hmm. trusting myself, relying on myself, loving myself, knowing I can do the things I say I'm going to do, having my own back, having thoughts that are about supporting myself. Being
you
able
know what all of that requires? Like, sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, like, we're just all going to sit back and we're going to trust ourselves and have our own back, like all that stuff. You know what it also means?
What
version of you makes lots of mistakes. Because when you have trust and your own back and all these things, you're making a lot of mistakes figuring out this new life and going about even more big things. And it's like, no wonder the perfectionist version is like, this new happy version of you is sucks.
Right. Cause it has to have mistakes involved in it. And that's hard. That's yeah. That's
so like, where do you think the solve is then? I know where the solve is. I just want to see if you can find the solve.
I think the solve is really embracing failure, embracing mistakes. I literally have in this notebook I grabbed today was something you said a while back, which is I'm willing to fail repeatedly to achieve my goals.
Are you willing to fail repeatedly, which means everything that you're not doing right now.
Yeah.
Are you willing to be okay with that? Like, are you willing to make peace with not being on plan and not doing the things and stuff and understanding like this was exactly what I needed to lose my weight?
I haven't been, and I am, because I know that the challenges of my life have created a person that I do like in myself. I haven't been willing. And that's what I think happens is the wall goes up because I'm not willing. But as I sit here with you, I feel really willing. Like I know I can do that. I know I can make peace with those mistakes and view them as opportunities instead of the beat down of how bad I am.
So let me ask you this, the successful version of you, like once you've lost all the weight, do you think she's really nice to herself because she lost all the weight? Or do you think she's really nice to herself because every time she stopped and every time she quit, she figured out how to be nice to herself?
That part.
Yeah.
That's
the missing piece for so many of you.
Yeah.
Is that you avoid the part where you rebuild the relationship with yourself.
Right.
You think the relationship with yourself is built on you doing it right.
Yes.
And on the scale going down and like, but all that feels good. It's like, well, fuck yeah, all that feels good. It's real easy to have a great feeling when everything runs perfectly. But the magic of weight loss is feeling really good about yourself and loving yourself enough that when it's not going great, that you figure out a way to use it and capitalize it and keep going. That's when I know someone is like losing their weight for good.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah.
Anybody can show up for a perfect day. Does not take a mental ninja to pat themselves on the back when they dropped 3 pounds and did their plan all week.
Right. Right. I have to do that, pat myself on the back when it's not going right or perfect. That's when I have to turn to myself and be kind and learn instead of avoid.
And it's not like blowing smoke up your ass. It's like in the moments when it feels the worst, how are you going to have your own back? Because if the version of you that you dream about is the person who has her own back, who trusts, like, let's just do this. Like, you trust yourself. What else did you say? She has her own back. So she's basically, she feels, what would that even be? Let's just put has her own back. Not a real
feeling.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's a word for it, and I can't think of it.
I mean, kind to myself, too. Like,
and really you feel kind.
Compassionate.
What else?
Confident.
Like this right here, all of you, it's the dream. It's so interesting we're having this conversation because yesterday I posted in three different subgroups. The group that has 100 pounds to lose, the Queen's Club, and the people who are in maintenance. And I asked them a series of questions about if you could have anything, you like anything, what is result? What is the ultimate result for you? No one put down a number.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody was putting these things down. Like at the end of the day, I just want to live my life. At the end of the day, I don't want they have thoughts and feelings. At the end of the day, I just want to be living my life. I want to go after things without apology. I want to love myself. I want to feel confident. Like this is what this is the weight loss.
Right.
The problem is we attach all of this to, and that can only happen when the C is my goal weight.
Yeah.
The C has to be, what's your name?
Jen.
The C has to be Jen.
Okay.
At any weight. Because if all of this is happening, eventually the result is Jen at goal weight.
Yeah.
And all the way there, this is going to be Jen doing it right. Jen taking a 3-week break because her brain went off the rails, whatever it is. There's going to be all these circumstances that are going to happen with Jen
for
all the journey. And this feeling line and T line, they have to be intact.
Right. Yeah.
Ahead of time.
So like the thoughts need to always be something like, and I'm working on this, and I embrace mistakes, and I learn from not having to do it perfectly or something.
Yeah, this is the part I redefine the relationship with me. I love that thought for a lot of you because that's really what's happening. The whole time we're like, seriously, the reason why I lost 100 pounds that was very different than any other time I tried is that 100 pounds was a rebuilding of the relationship I had with myself.
Yeah.
I literally had to just dead stop being an asshole to myself.
Yeah.
So every single time that I was, it was like I had, I wish y'all knew my granny because she was so just in your face. She's like me, blunt and all the things. And it was almost like I had to be my granny with myself. It was like every single time I would catch myself doing some bullshit, I'd be like, no. That's not what we're doing. That is the same bullshit that has kept you overweight all these years. And I would like, and I'm a firm hand person. And I would just tell myself, it is a no. Here's what we're going to do. I was very clear with what we weren't going to do and very clear with what the expectation was going to be. We will talk to ourselves like this. This is the way that like, I know fucking people that lose weight and are thin and love themselves. They must be talking to themselves like this. And we're doing it.
Well, your voice is in my head a lot too now, which is different. Like I had some food and your voice was like, that is not going to make you feel better. Like that's not the answer.
It's like, sometimes I would just say like, damn it, we're going to be nice to ourselves and we're going to like it.
Love that.
But that is like what you have to be willing to do. So yeah. Like when you make those mistakes, like I just think an easy thought for everybody, I swear to God, when you overeat, when you blow your plan, when you're doing anything, it's like, and this is when the relationship with myself gets to change.
Yeah.
How's it going to change? And you start looking at your mistakes very differently. Like, girl, why did you need to eat? Like, you would have a girlfriend conversation, not like, you know, this is just like it always is. Never going to lose weight. And you're a perfectionist. And, you know, like, you start running from the very work you need to do. Perfectionist more than anyone.
Yeah.
Step one, talk differently to yourself. It's not that you can't strive to do things right, yeah, but you have to strive to do things right because you want it, not because you're afraid of what you'll say to yourself if you don't do it right.
Right. Right.
That's where you get hosed.
That's where that wall comes up and I just like start hiding from those voices I'm not even fully acknowledging. And I think I have to say to myself, you're talking to yourself anyway, you might as well say something nice. Like, I think I'm not actually talking to myself, but I am.
And you might as well figure out what it is you say to yourself anyway. Like, right. I am a big believer in just like, thought work doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
You know what scares me? Ignoring my thought work.
Right.
Because if I ignore it, it's running on autopilot now. Yeah. It's like saying, you know, like I've taken my hands off the wheel and I'm just like hoping, you know, sweet baby Jesus, like, no, Jesus, take the wheel right now. Like we got to like have the thoughts in our face.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of work on being really honest with myself about the things that I think about myself with total integrity that I have my own back. Like I never tell myself that my thoughts are wrong and I never tell myself that I shouldn't have them. And I never tell myself that if I think these things, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
I just always like the best gift I ever give myself is really understanding what it is I think about me. Yeah. Because then if I don't want that collection, I can start working on redefining it, or at least I can have compassion for myself for why I'm getting the results I'm getting right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's just what I needed to hear.
Good.
Thank you. I'd love to ask one other quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So one thing I noticed in my patterns is that at dinner especially, I sit down and I just race through my food, like panic, get it all in. And I know that we're sort of not, you sometimes say, don't always ask why, like why is the danger zone, like just ask what. And I'm just struggling with getting access to that panicky shoveling thing.
All right. So why do you feel panicked when you eat? Thought. What's the thought around your food?
I think there's so much baggage around eating, you know, from my childhood. And
like what? Like, give me some.
I've always felt I was overweight. I was always criticized for my weight. So I eat too much. I'm too picky.
Okay. So this is why we're eating fast. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
It is in response. So I want you to do it this way. You have your collection of thoughts about you as an eater.
Yeah.
And you probably have something really subtle going on, like, let's just get this done. But like, it's like you're avoiding this.
Right.
Like, I don't want to think these things.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. Like, I just want to enjoy my food.
Right. Right.
Which is a lot of people. Like, if you have a lot of judgments around you as an eater, like, you know, well, you always eat the wrong things. Well, you know, like you were always an overeater. Those judgments come along for the ride every time you eat. Food will be a trigger. Like dinner will be a trigger. Yes. Unless you're like a lot of us don't do it at breakfast and lunch because we're working. We have like, you probably have other shitty thoughts that you got going on during that time. So the food ones are just dormant for now. But then when you have dinner where you don't have like work or you don't have like your day busying you, you're left with the collection of thoughts you have in these other areas. So the collection of thoughts that you have about you as an eater are going to start coming in. And at some point you've probably decided, like, I just want to enjoy my meal. I just need to relax. Or there's probably something going on there. And so rather than, you're probably feeling resistance or something. That's probably the other thing that's going on here. So the thought, do you know what thought it is when you're eating?
I think there's like, resentment came up, but that's more of a feeling. I think.
Imagine yourself at dinner.
Yeah.
And what do you think about your food? It makes you rush to eat.
It's delicious. I want to get enough.
I want to get enough.
Yeah.
What else?
Oh, crap, I'm going to overeat this because it tastes so good.
It's judgment.
Control, judgment. Lots of judgment. Yeah.
Well, that's probably why you're feeling panicky, because you probably are like, oh my gosh, the thoughts that are going to make me not eat enough are starting to come. Like, you're serving yourself too much, like whatever it is, right?
Right.
And if you really just want to get enough, mm-hmm. you just need to get enough, then yeah, you're going to feel panicked. You're going to rush through your food so that you can blow past. Like, if I can out eat my judgment, I'm good. Yes. I got to get enough. I just got to eat real fast.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start telling yourself, I can overeat without judgment.
I can overeat without judgment.
Yeah. I can eat plenty of food. Like, if you're overeating, or I can eat enough food. And if I want more today, I'm going to do it without judgment this time. And I'm going to do it paced. And I'm going to do it, like, this is just my advice.
Yeah.
Get good at eating paced first before you start cutting yourself off at your plus two. You'll naturally want to do it if you eat more aware.
Right.
Right now, what I want you to do is I want you to break the tie of rushing through your meal to escape your judgments. I want you to just drop the judgment part and just be like, you know what? I'm relearning how to eat. For a few weeks, I may eat my plus two, but I'm going to learn how to eat slower and more mindfully, and I'm not going to judge all of it. And that's some of the best work I can do, is to quit judging my food. So when judgment thoughts come in, I'm going to say, no, at this meal, the goal, like the result, is to reestablish the relationship with the food, to reestablish the relationship and the pace at which I eat. That's what we're working on right now. Then when we get that settled, guess what? It's a lot easier to make a decision of, like, you know what? Now that I'm not so panicked, and now that I'm not outrunning all my judgment thoughts and bullshit, I might be able to stop at a plus two and it not kill me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's a lot of layering.
Yes.
A lot of, like, I think ending overeating for you guys is just a lot of layering. Layering in the work. So many of you are so panicked and rushed to get the goal weight, thinking that's when I'm going to feel better. That's why the first model was so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goal weight happens when you allow a lot of models of, I reestablish the relationship I have with food. I reestablish the relationship I have with myself. I reestablish the relationship I have with myself and a mistake. Like all of those things, eventually the end model is, and I hit goal weight all the way through and I rebuilt all my relationships. So now I feel very trustworthy. I've learned how to have my own back over time. I've learned how to be compassionate to myself. I've learned every single thing that I hoped and dreamed I would.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was weight loss, not the weight created it.
Yes. Okay? Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. This was a good call. Like, I don't know where we're going to stick this one, but it was a great one.
So grateful. I was so scared to come on and talk about it because I was feeling like, oh, you screwed up. You should be able to figure this out. But I just said I was going to do it, and I'm so grateful I did.
Me too. You helped a lot of people, honey.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jennifer. There we go. Hello. Hello. Let me unmute you.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. What are we coaching on today?
I had asked a question yesterday.
Oh my God, you have cut your hair and dyed it since your picture.
I have.
I was like, it's a whole nother human.
I had asked a question in the Q&A live yesterday about people pleasing, and you had recommended jumping on for. I'm nervous. I've never done that.
Oh, you're good.
Coaching before. So I joined in September. I was a groupie before, so going on a year. I had lost the majority of my weight before joining, and I knew that I wanted to join to get the mental in check. So I've been doing a lot of journaling and thought downloads, and my big thing that I'm uncovering is that I'm a people pleaser, and you had asked, what is there particular people? And I found it's people who I want to avoid conflict, and I want to avoid negativity. So anytime somebody says something negative, or
do you have like a specific recent incident where we can kind of break it down in the model?
Yeah. So I have a coworker who can be pretty aggressive, and I'm in a leadership role with healthcare providers. So we have a lot of independent thinkers, and we just definitely have different personalities, and she can be very abrasive. So I find myself getting
She be abrasive?
My thoughts around her actions.
Yes, there you go. Like, she gives me C's, and I'm like, wow, she's abrasive.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, and I think the more that I've dug into that is, I try to people please because I want to avoid the conflict. So I do things that may not be best for my emotional health and
Well, I will tell you, most people pleasers are doing it so that they get to feel good, not so that the other person feels good. Ultimately, you're doing it so that it's like, all right, so she's abrasive and all this other stuff, and I'm scared of her and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to do these things. Then I can relax.
Yes. So I think the right term, not a people pleaser. It's avoidance. Like, I want to.
Yeah. Well, all people pleasers are pretty much that way. We always say that people pleasers are very selfish. Because you say to somebody's face, like, I'm going to do these things, and, you know, it's because I'm so good, and so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And on the inside, it's like, fuck, I really don't want to be doing this. I can't believe she asked me, but I'm going to do it because I want her to be happy, and blah, blah, blah. And we do it, you know, like, if you had to wear a thought bubble, a lot of you would say no more often. Because if you had to walk around people with a thought bubble, and they could just read your mind at any given moment, you would never want them to read your mind around the reason why you said yes. It's like, oh, I said yes because I think you're an abrasive asshole.
So my bigger issue is, so I do these things. I find myself like trying to pacify and settle down.
So tell me something she's recently said. Like, we need a very specific incident. Tell me a time recently that somebody has said something to you where you're just like, I went down the people pleasing road.
This action that you did it on purpose to try to get me fired. And
you tried to get me fired. She said that, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what? She's come to you. Can we give her a fake name? What do we want to call her?
You can pick a
name. Do what?
You can pick one.
Let's call her Anne, because Corinne can spell Anne. Anne said, tried to get me fired.
She didn't say it that nicely.
All right. You tried to get me fired, bitch.
Yeah, no, basically.
Okay. So she said it that way. So let's say she screamed it with a megaphone and had fire coming out of her hair. It doesn't make it worse. It's still words.
Okay.
I think that's one of the things that I just want you to, like, before we get into all this, it's like, well, she didn't say it that way. As if, like, you're hanging on to this sentence, it's bad.
Okay.
rather than this is what came out of Anne's mouth. What are you thinking about it other than it's bad? What are you making it mean about me or you?
So my thought is that's not true. What did I do wrong to make her think that?
What did I do wrong to make her think? So I did something wrong. Did you do something wrong?
No.
So why did you do this?
Why did I think that?
No, whatever you did, why'd you do it? Were you trying to get her fired?
No, it was for the betterment of the practice.
Okay. So why are you not just hanging on to that? Be like, well, I can see why Anne's mad. But maybe, let me ask you this. If she keeps doing this, would she get fired? Is there a possibility she could get fired for shit like that?
Potentially.
So we can see why Anne probably thinks you're like, I'm going to, like, she's probably scared. She's yeah. been outed on something that she's doing mm-hmm. that doesn't better the practice, right?
Right.
So, like, if we're just in Anne's model for me, let's just pretend that she's not an asshole. Let's okay. just pretend that she's a human being, like a chick working alongside you and she's fucking up. And you, I guess, went to someone else to tell them about her mess up, or did you, like, how did that go down?
To ask how we could try to fix it.
You asked her, how can we fix this?
The person that I went to was more of a, okay. how can we do, what can we do to fix this?
Okay, so, but you went to somebody and basically said, Anne's messing up, we need to fix this. Mm-hmm. Or was it, Anne's doing such a great job, but we also want to fix this?
It was a, this is a reflection on our practice, what can we do to fix it?
Not okay, so Anne, the way she's acting is a reflection of our practice. Mm-hmm. And now we need to fix this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for a second, can you just drop into Anne's model?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you think she feels about all of this?
Threatened.
Yeah. And when people are threatened, do you think that they act like their best self?
No.
Okay. So she probably does react with, I think you're trying to get me fired. This is what's happening for sure. Mm-hmm. Because she probably is afraid she's going to get fired. Right?
Yes.
The only reason why I'm having you do this is so that you can see she may be right in her mind.
Right.
But does that mean you're wrong? And that you need to figure this out and you need to make this right and stuff.
Right. I think that's the part that ties me up the most is that so many of our interactions after reflection, I can see where she's coming from and I can find tidbits that I can take away that are helpful for my leadership style and things that I need to do. What I hate and that I have a lot of judgment on myself about is why I immediately go to what did I do wrong? It clearly was a reflection of my worth. Like I want to not have to do that part.
I think you're probably always going to have to do that part, but just not care anymore.
Okay.
Like, I think what's happening is, like, you think that in order for you to feel better, you have to stop your old model. Mm-hmm. And what I want to offer you is that you get to feel better by letting this model run and you catching it over and over and over again until it extinguishes.
Okay.
There's, like, if you ultimately, like, if you're underneath is I'm not good enough or what is your, like, what is it? Why do you attack your own self-worth when somebody has a disagreement with you? Wrong is basically your thing.
Right. Or what could I do better? Like, I feel like I self-identify as a fixer. That's what I'm
but good at. That's coming from a different model.
Okay. Like, I have a lot of different models swirling.
When you right. So like what could I ask myself all the time what I could do better. Mm-hmm. That's on my action line. That's me asking questions, right? Right now, here's your current model. I'm wrong and you feel what? Scared or what is it?
I do feel scared, anxious. I have anxious in a lot of my lines.
Anxious. And then you start questioning your self-worth.
Yes.
Okay. That's this model. And then you treat yourself wrong.
So then I binge.
But you're not binging because of all this. You're binging because you want to get away from all of this.
Mm-hmm.
When the real fix is to not eat over all of this, is to be okay with this is how sometimes you do it, and you're unlearning this part.
Okay.
Right now, I think you have this whole model is I'm wrong again. Like, what are your thoughts about this? Other than this is why I binge. This is not why you binge.
I don't like that I go to the I'm wrong. That's the part that I want.
Right. I shouldn't go here. So that's your overall thought. And that's what's going to be super painful for you. Mm-hmm. So this is like the actual model. And then I'm going to like do one more. And I know this is like very heady, but it's a lot easier drawn out mm-hmm. than it is with me just talking it. So we're going to go back to this. And you tried to get me fired. And my model is I'm wrong. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to give you that as a circumstance because let me ask you this, Jennifer. Am I going to be able to work a model with you today to where like, oh my God, the light bulb flipped and I never believe that I'm wrong ever again.
No.
I always immediately go to, you know, rainbows and daisies and looking at it from a whole nother perspective.
No. No. I try to do that, but I catch myself not believing it.
Yeah, that's why like the first step for you is to have this model. And the poison thought you have is this shouldn't be happening. Or I don't want this to happen.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I don't want this to happen.
Okay, let's put that one in there. And how does that feel?
I think like when I was journaling yesterday, I came up with shameful because I know that it shouldn't be happening, but I know
that this shouldn't be happening.
Or I don't want it to happen. And I know that a poison thought is that it shouldn't be.
That you have two models that are poison.
Okay.
This shouldn't be happening. Is arguing with reality. This is happening. There's no should or shouldn't. They're just, this is the model that runs. That's it. You thinking it shouldn't is you losing integrity with yourself. That is your way of beating yourself down. That's your way of making yourself wrong. Like if you're wrong with Anne now, it's like, well, not only am I wrong with Anne, I'm just wrong with myself. I shouldn't even have these models. I shouldn't even be going here. I should be over here in these advanced, you know, models of me 10 years from now.
Yeah. Can we just jump to that?
No, we don't jump to that. You know what we do? We earn our way there by letting go of the idea that this version of us shouldn't be happening. This is just a version of you.
Sorry.
If you're not you don't have to apologize for crying. Shit. Seriously. How many people come on here and cry? Come on. You just have this version that's not good or bad. It's just the way you're thinking. The only reason why it's painful is because you're believing it. This is where you start 1,000 times for the next few weeks of saying, this is just the model that I'm running right now. It's okay. Sometimes I think I'm not good enough or that something's wrong with me when someone says words. I'm unlearning all that. This model's supposed to come in. The only way that I unlearn it is by seeing how often it comes in, telling myself I'm learning how to drop it. I'm over here in my like 8 a.m. time reconstructing why I'm not wrong, why I'm so right. All of that is a collection of me working towards who I want to be rather than judging who I am and making myself slip further and further into the hole.
That's helpful. I feel like I recognize that, but I'm stuck on the things that when this comes up, what can I be telling myself? What are some new thoughts that I can start inputting?
Yeah, and they have to be believable.
Right.
And very often what's believable, like there's no going from I don't want this to happen to, you know, this is never going to happen again or whatever. It's like, the reason why I want you to see this painful thought is because I don't want this to happen. You feel shame. Then you binge. I don't work on solutions. Like, you don't do jack shit to make sure that it doesn't ever happen again. You don't do jack shit to start unlearning the version of you in the future where you don't need all this anymore.
Yeah, because until recently, and I've done a lot with the ASK coaches, I wanted her behavior to change. That was my big focus, is why does she behave like this? Why is she so mean to me? Why is, you know, so I've been able to let that go and say, I can never change her. I can't change her thoughts. I can only change my reaction to it. And then I get frustrated because I don't know how to change my thoughts and reactions.
I think step one is going to be the I don't want this to happen model and the this shouldn't be happening models. Those are the first ones to work.
Okay.
Those are the first ones when we need to have a better thought that's going to allow you to shift out, which is, I don't want this to happen is something I'm like not believing anymore. It's okay that I'm like, I'm making this something about me. It's okay. Because here's what we know. Mm-hmm. You still have your job, right?
Yeah.
Anne still has her job.
Yes.
So the worst that's happened is everybody feels like shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, it's that boring. Like, I don't want this to happen because I feel so shitty. It's like, okay, well, for now, the first way to get out of so much stuff is to let go of not wanting this to happen. Like, let's just imagine for a minute, if you no longer fought the idea of like, so Anne yells at me, tells me shit. The first thing I do is like, oh my God, I must have done something wrong. This is all about me. And you catch yourself going, oh my gosh, here I am yet again, making this about me. I'm unlearning that version of me. If you just went to that, how much less emotional pressure would you have on yourself?
Less. And I've been working on it because my initial, I would always jump to needing validation from other coworkers. So she would say something and I'd immediately want to call or text some of my other coworkers and be like, am I crazy? Am I, you know, I wanted them to tell me, no, you are right. So that's been my first step, is that I've stopped doing that. I've identified I want to do that, but I've talked myself and said, you don't need validation from somebody else. Trust your own instincts. So that helps. It's a bridge, but then sometimes if it gets really bad, then I have to, yeah, the binging. Yeah.
And I think that's where the binging is happening way over here. It's not actually happening in the part where you're questioning you're right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That model is pretty benign. The worst that happens in that model is you question yourself.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay, because sometimes I discover things and I grow and I do change.
Yeah, like, let's just assume every single time you were wrong. I do that a lot. Like, people tell me I'm wrong all the fucking time. Sometimes I think people like sit around or getting paid to tell me. Like, yeah. Is there like some kind of weird affiliate program out there where it's just like the Corinne is wrong program? And when they like, when, especially when it's you guys or when it's like people that actually care about their opinion,
mm-hmm.
like a coworker or something, I like to ask myself, how are they right in this moment?
Right.
The reason why I like to ask myself that, and this is like, I would say this is like first and foremost, I want you to do some work every single morning on what's right about you. In what ways are you strong? In what ways can you handle other people's opinions? Like, I want you really thinking about how well you are equipped for all this and really constructing that part of your identity. Because I think right now the only identity you have is that I'm the wrong one. And I'm only trying to figure out how to like make peace with something I don't like about myself. I don't want you doing that. I want you to actually figure out how to like yourself, not just make peace with something you don't like, which is never going to work in the long run.
Right.
So it's like really understanding, like, how am I wrong in these situations? And so like every morning you work on first and foremost, you know, all the things that are right about me. Like when other people have opinions, here's like the reason why, like I'm going to believe in myself. Here's how I'm going to have compassion for other people. Like doing a lot of work. If other people's opinions and people pleasing is a big deal to you, then that's where you start. You do a lot of work on that, on reconstructing who you are and stuff. Then when these moments come that trigger the old model of I'm wrong, I want you to challenge yourself to be like, I need to build a relationship with myself of where I can be wrong and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, Anne thinks I'm trying to get her fired. She's scared. She's all these things. If it was me, I'd probably be scared too. That's where you can like drop into, yeah, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm wrong about her. Like not saying that she shouldn't be doing the things that she's doing, but I'm wrong about her being abrasive.
Okay.
I know it's a lot. Yeah. This is a headier concept. It's not as, you know, simple as self-sabotage and stuff.
That's helpful. I'm going to go back and listen. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that...
The main thing is every single day for the next 30 days, I want you to write about, here are the things that's right about me. Here are the ways that I know I am equipped to handle other people's opinions, even when I feel like I'm wrong. Even when I drop into, there must be something wrong with me, versus I can see why they think what I did was wrong. Mm-hmm. It's very different than something's wrong with me, I must have done it wrong, versus I can see where they think I just did it wrong. Like I can drop into compassion. I can drop into another perspective. I can drop into several different things to allow myself to have a breather on beating myself up.
Okay.
It's not about Anne at all.
No, that's what I've come to realize. It's nothing at all about whoever triggers the thoughts. It's how I then stay in my head and continue to beat myself up.
Yeah. And the last part is literally like, we're just not going to think this shouldn't be happening anymore. And we're not going to think that this is, I don't want this to happen anymore. You can handle it. You need to tell yourself, I can handle when I don't think nice things about myself. I have a model. I've got mm-hmm. journaling. I've got Ask Coaches. Like I have all these resources. Mm-hmm. It is a lie that I need all this to go away.
I'd like it to go away, but
you only want it to go away though, because you keep blaming your binging on it. If yes. The worst that was going to happen is you had some shitty thoughts about yourself and then you were going to work some models and you were going to like be mad for a day and let it swirl around in your head a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you were going to like be a little embarrassed and a little ashamed, like, oh, maybe she's right. This is blah, blah. Like if that's the worst that's going to happen, do you need it to all go away?
No.
Right. The only reason why we want all that stuff to go away is if we're using all of that to blame binging, overeating, and drinking. That's keeping us from our goals.
Yes.
You can, let me just tell everybody, you can feel shitty and you can feel worthless and you can feel like you're not good enough and not eat over it. You can just feel bad until you're like, kind of fucking done feeling bad. I'm going to change my damn attitude now.
Yeah.
I do it almost daily. Trust me, you can feel like shit a lot and not eat over it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Let's do, we'll do one more. I know this is, let's see. Sharon P.
I don't know if I've ever coached you. I don't think so.
Hello. Wow. I really thought I would never get a chance to be on here. So it's exciting.
I'm just taking all the peoples today.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So my situation is this. My boyfriend's son has drug and alcohol addiction problems and a serious mental illness. Okay. And today he's getting out of rehab. I have an extra bedroom at my house. Okay. And he's like, does Sharon need a roommate? And the last thing I want is this man with these serious problems coming to live in my house. Okay. And
no, she doesn't.
Well, but it's hard for me. I feel like I have to justify the situation. Like I find myself saying like, there are reasons beyond just the drug and alcohol addiction. Like we've been dating for 3.5 years and I've never been inside their condo because his son has destroyed it so much that it's uninterable, you know, with filth and stuff. And so I definitely don't want that to happen to my house. And
you have a lot of good reasons for not taking on a roommate.
Right. But I don't feel like I have the right to say no. Yeah.
Why
I feel
do you not
like,
have the right to say no? I mean, you don't want to, and he's destroyed property before. Why do you not like your reasons?
I don't know. I have never been able to say no. I've always struggled with saying no to things. You know, I go through life like wishing, don't anyone ask me anything because I can't say no. You know?
You can't say no.
Right.
Here's how I know you're going to say no.
Okay.
Because you're either going to say yes to the roommate, no to yourself, or you're going to say yes to yourself and no to the roommate.
Good point.
So you're always saying no somehow.
Mm, true, true.
You probably have lots of incidences too where you say no and you're just really generalizing it. And that's also making you feel very all or nothing.
Ah, true.
If I said, hey, like my cat, he's a son of a bitch, tears everything up, sleeps up your ass and stuff. I need you to take him. Would you take my cat?
No, I wouldn't.
Everywhere.
Yeah, right. Yes, I guess.
So it's not that you can't say no. You're just choosing not to.
Right, right.
For your own comfort.
Well, I want to get to the point that I can say no without saying anything about the house or anything about our history. Like,
okay, then let's role play.
Okay.
What's your boyfriend's name?
Steve.
I'm Steve.
Okay.
Hey, my son's getting out of drug rehab. He asked if you need a roommate. What say you? Can he come live with you?
No. because I don't want to have the situation at my house that you have at your condo.
Why not just tell him that? Why not be honest rather than lying to him?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what is going to be the harm in being honest other than you worrying what?
Well, I feel like I'm not being nice enough. You know, like if I were a good person or a nice person, I would help out.
No, you know what good people do?
What?
Tell the truth.
Mm,
you know what liars do? Say yes when inside their head, they're tearing you apart for even asking.
Position. Right. It was like that earlier thing you're saying about people pleasers. Like they say yes. I mean, I wrote it down, they say yes, but then in the mind they're going, I can't stand this, that you asked me this,
And yeah, like if I'm Steve, if I can read your thought bubble and it's going to be a mess, you owe it to Steve to tell him the truth.
True. True. Good point.
So who do you want to be? A liar or a truth teller?
Oh, truth teller. That was an easy one.
but that's the thing. Like, that is why I asked the question. Because you were saying, well, I don't want to be the kind of person. Like, I just don't want to be put in that position. I don't want to be put in the position to have to tell the truth.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because I find myself, like, I mean, I texted several people last night who know the situation. And it's like, trying to get their support to say, yeah, Sharon, it's okay to say no. You know, and everybody else, of course, is like, of course, say no. Why would you let him come live with you? But then deep down inside of me, I feel like I should say yes, regardless of what I want.
But make sure I need to say yes because of all these thoughts that don't feel right. I need to say yes ultimately because I just want to lie.
Right.
I don't want to have to, like, it's easier to let a drug addict come live with me, possibly destroy my house and do all these things than it is to tell my boyfriend the truth and his feelings get hurt.
Mm. Yeah, because I know he...
And we don't even know what his feelings will be or anything, but your brain is probably going someplace. That's what's really important for you to discover. It's like, if I tell Steve it is a no, and I'm actually honest and just say, look, Steve, I love you. We've been together for a while, but I am not your baby's mama.
True.
You know, whatever it is that you want to tell him. Like, I would probably be like, it's a no, and it's for these things. I like my house. And, you know, when he, maybe in 2 years when he's been drug free and whatnot, if he still needs a roommate, I'll consider it.
True.
You know, but like, you know, let's let him prove some stuff first, you know? Right. And I mean, now, if you genuinely were like, I really want to help Steve's son, I love him, I'm willing, whatever happens, it will be fine, I would overcome it. That would be really honest, and that would be a yes from a good place.
Right, true.
But a yes from trying to avoid conflict is not, that's being a liar.
It's interesting to say something like call it being a liar, because then it becomes more something I don't want to do, you know, as opposed to I want to be a good person, so I should say yes, you know.
Yeah, good people tell the truth. That's like a truth that I like to kind of own. Right. If I tell the truth, and I tell a lot of truths, you can ask my, like, a lot, you know, we all joke around about me being an asshole boss and everything, but I literally tell my girls the truth a lot. I tell them when they're not doing a good job, when I really don't want to have to do that. I tell them when, like, you're going to have to learn how to do this. Like, this is like, no, you got to do it this way. You got to do this and blah, blah, blah. Because I believe in them, and me just blowing smoke up their ass or avoiding telling them the truth doesn't help them.
True.
And it won't help your relationship with Steve. Like, I want you to just imagine the next 6 months of living with someone that you don't want to live with and that you're worried is going to destroy your house. Whether he may turn out to be amazing, who knows?
Right, right.
But if your mindset is, I didn't really want this, I didn't really want this, what is that going to do to your relationship?
Right. And I've told him before, because it's come up before, like, if he moves in here, then we're going to break up. Like, the end result would be us breaking up. But that would be an even harder thing to do, because I'm going to tell the, because I know what he wants to do is sell the condo that he, and somebody said, why can't he live with his boyfriend? Like, Steve mostly lives here. And he wants to sell that condo to get out from under it. But like, as soon as there's nowhere for Brandon to be, then of course I would 100% have to let him stay here and Steve, because they've got nowhere else to go. Or at least my mind would go there.
Right. You know, watch your language, Ryan. I would 100% have to. Just say, if all that happened, I would choose to. And here's the reasons why. And like your reasons, don't have the reasons be because you have to or whatever. And just be like, no, if I let them live here, it's because I choose to. And now I need to just understand the reasons why I'm choosing it. Because you wouldn't have to. You could just be like, I hope y'all find an apartment. Good luck, you know.
True.
You can still come over for dinner.
Right, exactly. Like, I want to have like reasonable boundaries that that feel good to me, that say yes, he can come over now and then and that kind of stuff, but not live here, you know.
But you need to have boundaries with yourself first. So before you establish a boundary with him, you need to have personal boundaries, which are, I don't lie. I always tell the truth. I like the, like, I don't make decisions because I have to. I always know that I'm going to make choices and I'm going to like my choices. I'm going to be brave enough to examine them all and make them from a place of integrity with myself and compassion for others by telling them the truth. The best thing we always can do for other people is the truth.
Wow. Yeah, I like that. Come back and write that stuff down.
Well, when you set those boundaries with yourself, this is what usually happens. People always want to be setting boundaries. I'm like, 99% of the time, none of us need boundaries. You know what we need to do? We need to have personal boundaries with ourselves and our own integrity, because once those snap into alignment, like, there's no, like, I need to set boundaries with how often he can come over. If you're in integrity with yourself, you know exactly where you stand and stuff. and he wants to come over and you don't want him there, you don't need a boundary. You need to just say no.
Wow. But I guess I would need the step that says, I don't feel guilty about it.
What is that step? How do you get to where you don't feel guilty? If guilty is a feeling, the step is figure out what thought I have that makes me feel guilty. That's step one. Step two, come up with another model where there's no guilt.
Right.
But that doesn't always mean like that. I think a lot of people is like, well, if I don't feel guilty, then I feel what?
Content. Good?
Content? Yeah. Yeah. You know what that model probably is? If it's guilty, it probably feels honest.
Mm. Okay.
And honesty also a lot of times has another model that has risk involved. So we feel risk. Like I'm honest with Steve about his son. And Steve is like all bought into his son and says, well, you know what, Sharon, I love you, but I'm going to need to not spend as much time with you right now while I work on Steve. That's like, that was the risk we took. It may be like, he's like, I just appreciate your honesty. No woman has ever stood up for herself. This makes me love you more. Can I come over right now? Like, you never know what's going to happen, but there's the uncertainty and the risk. That's why it's really important to understand your models.
Right.
Because in order to be honest, you also have another model that's also going to have Steve's decision based upon what you presented it with him and how your thoughts are going to be about it.
True. I mean, I definitely think I'm to the point I can spend less time with him. He can go spend it with his son, you know?
You just need to weigh all that out and you'll figure it out. If you'll spend more time figuring out how to be honest and figuring out those models and how you're going to feel and stuff and unearthing this crap, then you can spend less time checking with everyone to make sure that the opinion's right and right. Worrying and like trying to figure out, well, like, can I even handle it if he lives here? Like, you can clean all of it up and you can take a shortcut to just being like, this is what I'm deciding. This is what I'm doing. I like my reasons for me. I'm willing to feel a little uncertain about how he's going to feel. But I know at the end of the day, whatever he thinks and whatever he's feel, I can come to compassion for him because he's his dad and I love him. And like, you can work through all that, but you got to work through all that on paper.
Right.
And when you do that, the conversations and the actual execution becomes so much easier for you and so much cleaner.
Okay. Yes. I like the idea of being honest. You know, I don't think I've been honest much of my life, really, when people ask for things, you know.
Most of us aren't. We're so worried that we're going to hurt people's feelings. And it's like, we're not ever hurting people's feelings. What we do is we monkey all this stuff because it's like, well, if somebody's feelings got hurt, then I am going to go to town on how terrible I am. It's just like our last person. Well, then if her feeling is hurt or his feeling is hurt, then I must be wrong. There's something wrong with me. I should have done better. That's what we're trying to avoid. The personal judgment and the personal beatdown. We're not trying to avoid their hurt feelings because like I hurt people's feelings all the time. I just don't think I'm an asshole for doing it. Like I literally like, ask Kathy, like she probably gets coached around me more than she gets coached on any other topic in her life because I am very honest. And my thought is always not like I'm hurting Kathy's feelings and maybe I'm too harsh or whatever. I'm always thinking like, you know why the people on my team are so good? Because I've been so honest with them. I'm not lying to them.
Right.
This makes them better. Like that's when I'm like total integrity. And it makes being honest a lot easier. And then when they tell me like, you know, I'm really upset about it, I can like really have compassion for them. Like, I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Okay. That will be the last one, y'all. Let me see what the Q&A says. Oh, wow. There's a lot. I have a call starting in 20 minutes with my 6-day girls, which are the people who came. So just for all of you, so that all of you know what the 6-day is, once a year, well, we did it once this year and we are working on the dates for 2021. And it's going to be 5 days instead of 6 full days just because we were able to like make the days a little bit longer and stuff. Is I work with a group of women anywhere from 70 to 100 people, where they come to Nashville and they spend 5 days with me, and then for like a couple months before and then a few months after that, we do a group coaching call every month to kind of work on what's going on for them and what's coming up and all this other stuff. So we did that this past January, right before all this stuff started. And their call is coming up. So this is one of their, this is their second to last call. We are doing another one next January. We are working out the dates. It's an intensive thing. So if y'all keep asking like, what's the sixth day? That's what the sixth day is. For all of you who asked questions, if you will post those either in the Facebook, somebody else is like, you know, what is the sixth day? If you will post them in Facebook and anything that I can't answer or one of the coaches can't answer, I will get over there. They will make sure that they put it inside of my channel where I go, like they give me posts that you guys specifically want me to answer all the time so I can get those over there just because we went really long today. Everybody will see my pants. I've got a picture of me in my pants, but I will show you. This is my cutie patootie outfit. These are actually lounger pants, just saying. Mm-hmm. I also have my nude heels. I just decided today I wanted to look cute as can be. It's Easter. I got my mommy tiger coming out. And as y'all know, Chris and I, tonight is going to be kind of like a little date night. We're going to play Scrabble on our phones and we're going to have a couple of drinks. And I just thought I would dress cute for him because we have been, I don't know, I dress cute a lot, but we just kind of wanted to, like, when the calls are over, we're going to clean the house up a little bit. We're going to, like, just relax, do all the things, and just take a little time off. We have been working pretty hard for you guys. But anyway, I love these pants. I don't even know where they came from, but I love them. So y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.